You know, if you stop and thought about what you've been listening to, every song that was sung, all of it had something to do with the Lord, but it was all different kinds of music. What did he start off with? Zydeco? Is that what you call that? Somebody said, I didn't know you could praise God with Zydeco. There's some folks, they would be offended if you played Zydeco music in the church. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. It's not the kind of music. It's the message that's in the music. And it's the message and it's the spirit that's in the music. Music is a spiritual tool. It can be used by God or it can be used by the enemy. It don't make no difference what kind of music. I don't like rap, but I heard two old boys doing a Christian rap one day and got me all excited. Me, I'm an old white man. I don't care about rap most cases because a lot of what I heard in rap is ungodly stuff. But when the Spirit of God got on it and the message of God got on it, it was all right. So it don't make no God is the author of all kinds of music. Let me tell you, if you bring it down to its very basic thing, is nothing but mathematics. Anybody that really knows the science and technology of music will tell you that music is about mathematics, and God designed that. Amen. God invented mathematics. God invented music. The devil just takes it and misuses it. I'm sure glad the devil don't have all the good music anymore. Hallelujah. You can have a seat if you like. I'm going to say a couple of things to you. I listened to that song, He's On Time God.
Yes, He is.
He is. Always on time. But I want to give you another little thought about that thing where it said the children of Israel were in a trap. Well, the fact of the matter is they were, but they were the bait in the trap. The children of Israel were the bait in the trap. The trap was for Pharaoh. If you look at it that way, it's a whole other thing. God put them there, and I'm not going to read it, but if you want to know about it, go to the 14th chapter of Exodus, and God told Moses to bring them right to that spot. Right to that place and have them camp right there at that place. Because Pharaoh thought he had them hemmed in. There was the Red Sea over here in front of them, and there was mountains over here on this side, and there was desert over there, and Pharaoh's behind them. So he thought he had them in a trap. But the fact of the matter is they were the bait in the trap that God set for Pharaoh and his armies. And sometimes, now listen to me, sometimes that thing works just like that in your life. Sometimes you're the bait that God uses to work on the enemy's situation. And you have to be willing to sit tight. Now, the children of Israel, they was all crying out and squalling and screaming because they was afraid, because they didn't know what was going on. Moses did. The Bible said Moses knew God's ways. Israel just saw what God did. You see, God wants you to know His ways, what He does, what He's like, and why He does it. But you have to draw near to God. He don't tell His secrets to people that's just out there running around on the periphery. That's on the back pew. Can I say that? He wants you to draw near. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. James chapter 4 verse 8. And so God wants to tell you His secrets, but He ain't going to tell you if you're not sold out. Now that don't mean He don't love you. You know who He tells these secrets to? His friends. We're all His children, but He wants us to grow up and be His friends. I got a 52-year-old son that when he was a little boy, I told him everything to do. I told him where to go, when to go, how to go, what to eat, what to wear, if he could go. But he's a 52-year-old man now, and you know what? He's my son, but he's also my friend. And I tell him what I think. I tell him my secrets, because he's my friend. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
And God wants you to grow up and be His friend. He don't want you to just be His little baby.
Right.
It's good to be God's little kid.
All right.
But God's looking for sons.
Okay.
Sons that'll grow up.
Okay.
That'll learn how to carry a load. How to participate with Him in what He's doing.
Right.
How to participate in His enterprise, which is called the kingdom of God. Not heaven. We're not talking about heaven. We're talking about the kingdom of God, the purpose and plan of God in the earth. And so God is looking for men who will draw near. Now, go with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. This young man that's with me here, Brother John Norwood, he's one of my spiritual sons. I didn't raise him in my house, but I've been raising him the last few years. I've been loving him and walking with him.
Amen.
And he and I stopped and spent some time. We left early and stopped down here at Jonesville and had a bite to eat. And I sat and preached to him. I was going to practice on him before I got here to practice on you. And we were sitting and looking at some things in the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth..." The family of God is in heaven, but His family is here in the earth too, brothers. And you're it.
Right.
And family's made up of babies, but it's also made up of grown sons. God don't want you to always be a baby. You got to grow up. You got to quit crying. Quit playing. Grow up and be a man. Go read the last part of 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, "I was a child, I thought like a child, but when I was a man, I thought like a man." God's looking for that from you and me. Now listen what he says. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Two or three different times I heard men come talk to me and talk about the love of God, the love of God. I heard you singing about it. So I know I'm on track here this evening. God told me to say some things to you about love and light. And I'm going to do that if I can get to it. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, the ones that are in heaven and those that are in earth. God wants you to comprehend, to know, to understand, to lay hold to the reality of who He is, what He's like, what He does, and why He does it. God wants you to participate with Him in His kingdom. He wants you to go to the place where you, like Jesus, only say what Father's saying and do what Father's doing. You see, I can't do that. Maybe not now, but you can become that. See, you have the very nature of God Almighty in you. When you were born again, He planted the seed of His Word in your spirit, man. And there's a tree of righteousness growing up. And He wants you to remain rooted and grounded in His agape love. I heard Him singing about agape. Who was it singing that? Right here, about agape love. Be rooted and grounded in God's agape love. God is agape. He doesn't do it. He is that. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, and to know or to experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God here in the earth, not in heaven. Everybody's waiting to get all this stuff in heaven. God wants you to get it here. Now, you say, well, aren't we going to heaven? Well, yeah, you will probably for a while. Why do you think He made a new earth? The Bible says in Psalms, I think 115 verse 16, it says, the heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth He gave to the sons of men. And He never changed His mind about that. You say, oh, I just want to go to heaven. Well, go talk to God about that. He wants you to do some stuff here in this earth too. And you got to grow up. Now, Psalms 1. He said, be rooted and grounded in love. So, what gets rooted and grounded?
A tree.
There you go. Psalms 1. Verse 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you got to be listening to God. Don't be listening to the counsel, the wisdom, the instruction, the directions of the ungodly kingdom. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 that you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son and made fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You're a partaker of that inheritance. It's the kingdom, not heaven. Everybody, the church has taught you you're supposed to worry about going to heaven. I don't worry about going to heaven. You say, how come? Well, because Jesus already took care of that. I'm a son of God. I have an assignment from God here in this earth. And when my body quits working, I'll go to be with the Lord. I'm not concerned about that a bit. Because He already took care of that. I don't have to worry about it. If you know who Jesus is and what He did at the cross, you wouldn't be worrying about it either. If you're concerned about whether or not you're going to heaven, either get saved or find out why you got saved.
Come on.
It's one or the other. Either you ain't saved or you don't know why you got saved. It ain't hard to be saved. Believe the gospel. Jesus went to the cross, died, buried, and resurrected. The Son of God went to the cross, was died, crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and poured out His Spirit. Right? That's all there is to it. Believe it, receive it, take it into your life, and begin to participate with God in what He's doing. Quit worrying about whether you're going to heaven or not. If you're screwing up, if you're doing stuff you ought not to, quit it. Just quit. You say, well, I can't. Well, God will help you.
Come on now. Amen.
Get up and go to work spiritually every day.
Fight the good fight.
Draw near to God. Get up, read your Bible. You know what goes in the eye gate and what goes in the ear gate is what fills your heart up. If you ain't filling your heart up with something from God, then you're filling it up with some other crap. And I use that word advisedly. I know what I said. I wasn't cussing. That's what it is. Crap. Dung. Right? Don't be put. You want anybody pouring trash in your water well?
No, sir.
If you had a water well, would you want somebody dumping trash in it?
No, sir.
What are you going to be drinking?
No, sir.
Well, don't be putting trash in your well, and don't put none in mine. Okay. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight... Do you take pleasure in the Word of God?
Yes.
That's what it's taught. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, ask God to help you. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. You say, well, I can't think about the Bible all day long. No, you don't think about the Bible. You think about the God of the Bible and what He said. What He's doing. Ask Him to help you to hear more clearly and see more plainly. Then He says, verse 3, He shall be like a tree. Rooted and grounded. Planted by the rivers of water. Now there's a there's a little misunderstanding here. Until about 20 years ago, and I don't know why, but it was at least 20 years ago, I saw this. I went one day and looked in the Strong's Concordance, that word rivers. See, I always had a picture, like these pictures back here, these old cypress trees growing up there on that in that swamp. I always saw a picture of a tree planted by the rivers of water. I just saw an old oak tree growing up on a riverbank.
All right.
That ain't what it's saying. That word rivers is a Hebrew word that could have better been translated irrigation canals. When I saw that, a whole lot of light went off in my understanding. Because when I was a little boy, my granddaddy, Charlie Tisdale, he was a citrus farmer. And I watched him irrigate his citrus trees. There was a canal right close to the orchard that he had there, and he opened up a gate and let that water flow into that orchard, and he watered those trees. Those trees were planted by an irrigation canal. They were put there on purpose. That old oak tree just grew up by accident. You see, he said, the man that does these things will be like a tree that's planted on purpose in an orchard and watered and cared for by a farmer.
Amen.
My grandfather cared for those trees. He looked after them. He trimmed them. He fertilized them. He sprayed dust on them to kill the bugs because he wanted them to produce fruit. And that's what is God wants to do in your life, you see. Said, if you do these things, you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, don't stand in the path of the sinners, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, delight yourself in the law of the Lord, meditate in His word day and night. He'll be like a tree planted in an orchard by an irrigation canal, planted there on purpose and cared for by the farmer. You need to understand that God's planted you in His orchard on purpose.
Amen.
You didn't get there by accident. You're not an old oak tree growing up on the side of a riverbank just happened to be there. Some old squirrel dropped an acorn and it come up. You're not an accident. God planted you in on purpose in His orchard. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Right?
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah 17. Let's read a curse and a blessing. How about that? Jeremiah 17:5. The Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. You hear that? Don't be putting your trust in another man. I don't care who he is. From the president on down to the guy that holds the key here. And I ain't talking ugly about any man. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just telling you, that's not where your trust should be. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. We just read that if you do some things, you'll be like a tree planted in the orchard, cared for by the farmer. You put your trust in man or man's ways, you're going to be like a little old, what we out in Texas, we call it's a tumbleweed. They don't have no roots. They're a real living plant. They're a tumbleweed. They'll stay a certain place and grow a little more. The first wind comes along, they just roll off down the fit for nothing. All they're good for is to start a fire. Kindling. Is that what you want to be? He'll be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. Parched means dry. You do those things mentioned in Psalms 1, you be like a tree planted by an irrigation canal, cared for, watered, protected. Are you hearing me? But there's some stuff you got to do. You say, well, I just want God to love me. Well, He does. You don't have to do anything to get Him to love you. He loved you when you was out there ripping and running, doing whatever it was you was doing and got you here. Probably it's His love that got you here.
Come on.
Because some of y'all be dead in a ditch if His love hadn't got you here. I see a bunch of faces I hadn't seen before, so I'm going to ask my question. How many of you guys, them old boys you was running with, doing whatever it was you was doing that got you here, how many of them guys come to see you? Any of them come to see you? Zero. That's right.
Wait, they sent money. They sent them a money order. That's what
they sent you a money order?
Didn't they?
Yeah, I bet. Zero. Yeah, okay. Brother, I'm more a friend to you than them guys are.
Amen.
He's more a friend to you than those guys are. So when you go home and them guys come sniffing around again, tell them to get the hell out of here. Or come go with me to church. I ain't cussing, I'm telling you.
Yes, you are.
Go do what you're doing. Get the hell away from me. I'm going on with God. Because there ain't nothing but hell with them.
Amen, brother. That's right. Exactly right.
I love you, but that's the truth. And I'll go so far as to say this. If that old boy that is running with you is your blood brother, your mama and his mama's the same one. Tell him to get away from you. If he's still doing that stuff. Because he ain't your friend. I don't care if he's your brother. You say, that's a hard word. Yeah, I can give you some other hard words Jesus gives too. Sometimes Jesus says hard things. But those hard things will get you delivered from hell.
Amen.
Look in verse 7, Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. We're looking at a curse and a blessing. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Not his hope not in the Lord, his hope is the Lord. Whose hope is the Lord? For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit.
All right.
He planted by that irrigation canal. And it don't make no difference if there's a drought. There's a river. There's a river flowing from the throne of God.
All right.
And you go read the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Talks about that river of life and them trees planted on either side of it. That's you. And the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nations, it says. God wants you to grow up to be a tree of righteousness that is the produce, the product of your life produces healing for people in other places. How many people are in this facility? Okay, so we got 80 people here, maybe 75 or 80 people in here. We got a little over a tithe. Thank God, we got a little over a tithe in here of this place, and I count that as a great thing. But them other guys, and I'm sure some of them go to some other meetings. We're not the only group that comes here, and I know that. And some of them other guys probably come. What if I was to ask you, what do you think is the percentage of men in this place that come to church meetings?
One-fifth,
maybe. 20% of the whole bunch maybe come, and we don't have that here. I don't know. But you see, there's a lot of men out there living in a dry place. And what they need to see are trees of righteousness that have remained rooted and grounded in the love of God and live by that. See, the Bible says, walk in love. I'm going to give you some of those. I got some verses here that I'll have to get to. Just hang loose with me. All right, there we go. I was meditating on some of this the other day, and the Lord began to talk to me about walking in love. Now, when He says walk in love, it's not a matter of, you know, you ever hear the story about a couple of guys went to the restaurant, and the waitress was going to take them back where they were going to sit down and eat, and she said, walk this way. And so they all walked like she did. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say walk in love, I'm talking about how you live. It's not how you move your feet. Are you hearing me? When God says walk in love, He's talking about your manner of life. Whether or not you're rooted and grounded in agape. Whether or not you're allowing the nature and character of God to be made manifest in the way you speak, the way that you act, what you allow to motivate you, and in your attitudes. How many of you know you can know what a guy's thinking just by his attitude? You ever see a guy roll his eyes and you know he's telling you to go to hell? Right? Or he don't care nothing about it. He said, whatever. It ain't interested in what you got. So attitude, tone, all those kind of things. So you have to learn how to let the love of God show in every area of your life. And it's a learning process, brothers. God knows that. So He says, walk in love. 1 John 4:16 says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God. Now that word dwell is the same word that Jesus used over in John 15 where He said, abide. Abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it'll be done. If you abide, you dwell in God's agape. Now, listen to what the Scripture says here. You can just write these Scriptures down and go look at them later. Don't try to go find them. Write the references down and look at them later. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, now Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him? Listen, guys. If you don't love God with all your heart, how are you going to love that guy in the bunk next to you? Are you hearing me? If you don't love God, you ain't really going to love that guy. You shall do. You. What does the Lord require? This is what the Lord requires: to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Serve Him. You say, well, I don't know how. Well, that's all right. You can learn. Are you hearing me? And here's how it works, brothers. First of all, remember this little thought. God's not in a hurry. Now, you can write that down because that's the truth. God is not in a hurry. And so, He'll teach you His ways. David prayed that in Psalms 25. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and show me thy paths. If David could pray that, you can too. Right? You can learn God's ways. David didn't even have a Bible and he prayed that. You got a Bible. David didn't have a Bible. He wrote a lot of what we call a Bible. Those Psalms. They didn't have printing presses back in those days, guys. You blessed. How many of you guys got more than one Bible? See, here we are in a correctional facility, and a whole bunch of you got more than one of them things. Don't be complaining to me that it's hard. You got God's Word. And you learn to overcome. You say, well, you don't know what it's like in here. No, I don't. But I'll tell you this. If this gospel won't work here, it ain't working out there either. Right? You just have to give yourself to Him. Deuteronomy 11:22. For you shall diligently keep all the commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him. You can learn to do that. You can learn to. It's a process. You learn who God is, what He's like, what He does, and why He does it. And you learn that by reading this book. You say, well, Brother Tisdale, I read it, but I don't understand it. Just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. One of these days, light will come. Because as you keep pressing in, it'll happen. You just have to trust God. He knows you don't know. He knows you don't know. But what'll happen is you'll read something in one place, and then you'll read over here and say, oh my God, that's what that means. He give you revelation knowledge. He'll give you understanding of His Word, His will, and His way. But you have to decide you're going after God. He'd been after you. Since He separated you from your mother's womb, He's been after you. Deuteronomy 19:9. If you keep all these commandments to do them which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in His ways, then thou shalt add 3 cities more for thee, and besides these 3. In other words, God, what He's saying there, He's going to add stuff to you if you walk in His ways. He'll add to you. Deuteronomy 30:16. He says, I command you this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither you go to possess it. When you decide you're going to walk with God, you're going to love Him. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. You say, well, I don't know what they are. Well, read in the book. Actually, God Almighty gave Moses 10 of them up on the Mount Sinai. When Jesus was walking around on earth, He brought it down to 2. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason why He did that is because those 10, the first 4 have to do with how you treat God, and the last 6 have to do with how you treat people. So the 2 things that He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, covers all 10 of them. You don't have to worry about what... Listen. You say, well, it says, thou shalt not kill. Well, okay, if you love your neighbor, you won't be murdering him. Right? And if you love him, you won't be stealing from him. If you love him, you won't be trying to seduce his wife. I'm just... Is that plain? It's not hard. God didn't make it hard, guys. Religion makes it hard. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Let's go to the New Testament and we'll look there. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll tell you what, let's look at chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and then we'll read on down to chapter 5. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. You say, well, but God, help me, brother. I can't do that. So the guy in the bunk next to me, he's a Sorry, no good. He gives me all kinds of trouble. Well, pray for him. Ask God to help you help him. Forgive him if he's offended you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That's what he says in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be followers or imitators. That word followers there is a Greek word, mimetes, which means mimic. It's where we get our word mimic. Mimic. It means to imitate, copy. You remember when, did you ever do this when you was a kid? You was going to tease your brother or sister and they'd say something to you and you'd say it right back. They'd say, you did something. They'd say, I'm going to tell mama. And you say, I'm going to tell mama and you. And they say, you better quit that. You say, you better quit that. That's mimic. You're mimicking them. And he says, mimic God. Do what God does. Be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Listen. When you begin to walk in love, that agape love that the brother was singing about, it smells good to God. That's what it says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. When you walk in love, it smells good to God. It smells good on you. And you know what? Not only will God notice it, but other people around you will notice it too as you continue to do that. Now, let me tell you once again. I know you have to learn how to do this. You don't automatically know how. You say, well, God commanded me to. Yeah, He just wants your attention. And then besides all that, here's a thought. Write this down. When God commands you to do something, He has authorized you to do it. When He commands you to do something, He has authorized you to do what He commanded you to do. He would not command you to do something that He didn't want you to do. He wouldn't tell you to do something that he won't give you the ability or the strength to do it. Now you may have to, it's like riding a bicycle, you may have to learn how to do it, but He's authorized you to. When I bought my oldest child a bicycle and gave it to her, I authorized her to ride it. But I had to show her how. Right? Well, it's the same thing. God has commanded or authorized you to walk in love, but He will show you how. But you have to draw near to Him. You say, God, I don't know how to do this. I want to. You're going to have to help me. And He will do that. And now, part of the way He does it is put circumstances before you so you get to practice. So He brings some old hard-headed guy around you that's a knucklehead. And you're going to have to learn how to love him and forgive him and not carry an offense. Are you hearing me? He may talk bad to you, but you just love him anyway. You have to, God give you an opportunity to pray. If she'd never got on that bicycle and practiced, she'd never learn how to ride it. So God has to give you an opportunity to learn how to do this stuff. You may be the one somebody's practicing on. All right, brothers. Walk in love. Romans 5:5. I'm going to give you that and then I'm going to quit. I said I would a minute ago, but I didn't. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says this, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Did you hear that?
Amen.
The love of God has been poured out in our, what's it say? In our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you have the love of God in you. You just have to learn how to use it, how to walk in it.
Come on,
Don't be say, well, I can't do it because I don't have that kind of love. God said He poured out His love in your heart, in your spirit, man, by the Holy Spirit, which was given to you. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Right.
Read the book, talk to God, and do what you know to do. And if you make a mistake, ask God to forgive you. He'll do it. Get up and go at it again. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Now I want to say this. I want you to know how much I appreciate being able to be here and watch what I see happening. I don't come as much as I used to because I got some people in our church that we've raised up and trained to do this. We're discipling people. That's what Jesus said do, to disciple them and get others to do it. We got 5 other facilities that we go to besides here. But I want to congratulate you as a body and your leaders here. There's good stuff happening here. I see it. I feel it in my spirit. I sense the Spirit of God working in your lives.
Yes.
Keep pressing in. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. God's doing some stuff on purpose in your lives because you ain't going to spend the rest of your life here. This is a training ground. And if you'll see it like that, instead of cussing it and cursing your time here, let God bless you by you having the opportunity. When you was out there ripping and running, you wasn't caring nothing about God. Now all of a sudden He's got your attention. Let Him continue to have it when you go home too.
Amen.
Stand up with me. Father, I thank You for these, Your sons. I thank You, Lord, for the blessing and the privilege that we have of drawing near to You. Father, I ask that You continue to pour out Your Spirit in this place. I ask, Father, that You continue to illuminate the eyes of the understanding of these men, Your sons. Enable them, Father, to see clearly and hear plainly those things that You're saying and doing. Let revelation knowledge flow freely. Let Your purpose and power be made manifest in their lives. I pray, Father, for the families of these men that are here, their loved ones, their wives, their children, their brothers and sisters, their fathers and mothers. If there's anybody in their household, Father, that does not know You, I ask, Lord, that You send laborers across their path. Men or women filled with Your Word and Your Spirit, filled with Your love. Let them minister life and light to them. Bring them out of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I thank You, my Father, and I praise You for doing it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Grace and peace to you. Amen. I love you. It's good to be back.
You have a safe night.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for love.
Yes, sir. Amen. I do.
I know you do. I can see it.